Hey Potters, welcome to episode 181 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy big game day, since we can't say any number of like 50 different trademarked phrases now for everybody who's watching, you know, the giant thing that's on television where everybody eats chips and dip and chicken wings and pizza.
It has to do with American football.
Yes.
That's about all we can say. Yay! Trademarks!
Apparently a giant portion of America right now is watching a bunch of people throw a pigskin ball around on a field.
Which is why I aptly titled this on our Facebook page. Like, hey, you want to do something else for an hour? Come craft with us.
Exactly. We are the not watching football crew tonight.
I'm okay with this.
Yes. And of course, we're preparing for an early spring, because Punxsutawney Phil apparently did not see his shadow this morning. And so it's suddenly going to warm up, except that it's going to be 26 degrees Thursday night. So I can't really get out my, you know, nicer weather cosplays yet.
It's basically what happened last week, but in the reverse, because like Tuesday morning, it was 28 and then it got up to like 60 by the end of the week. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be 80 as a high. And then it's going to drop back down to the 20s. And you're just like, no wonder we all keep getting sick.
Gee. I'm trying to figure out what cosplay to work on. You know, speaking of cosplay updates at this point, but the weather isn't really cooperating. I don't know if it's going to be warm or cold. So I don't really, like, I keep flipping between, like, should I be making a cold weather cosplay first? Should I be making a warm weather cosplay first? Eh.
That's a good emote. Eh.
Yes, you know, mood, as the kids say these days. So how has your cosplay work been going?
I've been doing a lot more beading. Yay! I finished up my chainmail pieces for my belt, which are sitting over to the side. It's not very impressive until I get the front parts of it done. So they're still kind of off, and once I get the rest of it figured out, then I'll show it all off. It'll be great. But my giant section of like the long, long beading areas where I've done like rows of four, this part is done now. I am so happy. Having said that, I have the new section of beading that I have to do now. Long rows of two, which this is going much faster. I managed to do this top section maybe for about 2.5-3 hours yesterday. I've been watching the Final Fantasy XIV fan festival in Paris and just catching up on the VODs since their content goes live at like 3 a.m. our time. And I ain't getting up that early to watch that stuff. So I've just been watching it on replay.
Welcome to our lives whenever the World Cosplay Summit comes on.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, if you don't have a paid subscription to them, you kind of have to watch it live. You don't really have a whole lot of options. So it's like, oh, I'm good.
You can do one time shift for free.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if you don't schedule the time shift in advance, then you can't time shift it.
It's annoying. But that's the service that they use, so you kind of have to play with it.
We're really sorry to our fans out in Japan. We're not complaining, like, to complain, just that Nico Nico makes it a little difficult for us to be able to watch it here in the States.
Unless you pay for it. Right. And this would be the only thing that I would pay for, because all the other stuff that I watch is on multiple avenues. Like, you could see it on YouTube or on Twitch or on Mixer, so it's like,
right.
I don't have to pay for it. Yeah. I'm already paying for Twitch, so I'll just watch it on Twitch. Done.
There you go.
But yeah, so this is going to be my project for the evening, because it's pretty simple, straightforward, and lots of rows of beading, and I have to do the same amount. I finally measured it properly. It's 3 yards and 20 inches, which covers both sleeves in full, so yay. This is the costume. That never ends. It definitely does not go on and on with my friends, because it's just me who's making this sucker.
Well, it is going on and on.
And oh, it's going on and on.
You are saying it to your friends.
No one else is having to experience this torture quite like I am.
True.
Never again. After this, I'm not doing any more Game of Thrones costumes. You'd have to pay me to do it and have to be
Game of Thrones is going to be over.
Oh, absolutely.
The season, so...
It's going to be done. Like, this is the last season.
Right.
I might get it done before the last book comes out. That's all I can hope for at this point.
Can you finish faster than George R.R. Martin?
I'm almost positive that I can. I feel confident in saying that.
Well, unfortunately, I have another much, much, much smaller pile of fabric.
but it's still a pile of fabric.
It is. I ended up having to start over on the deedlet pattern. I stitched together. I hand basted the bodysuit pattern together. And I held it up, and I had to double check the envelope to make sure I had assembled it properly, because it looked really odd once I had assembled it. Some of the seams just sit kind of oddly. The way they have it kind of put together has a lot of very angular corners, and I think it's because there's contrast panels in the suit. So once I put everything together, it didn't look right. And it's not that it didn't fit right. It's that it doesn't have the look that I was going for, especially with the contrast panels. That means the seams are in very specific places and it looks wrong. It's not the style that Deedlet has. So I ended up going through my pattern collection and I've pulled a different pattern. This one just has standard Chinese stock dress, which is more or less what she has. And so I'm going to, you know, I've cut out the pieces for that pattern, and I'm going to base this together and try this and see if it works a little bit better. Because I didn't want to make it and not be happy with it, especially since I'm supposed to feel comfortable in it.
Is it because of the way Riddle's pattern is designed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The way that it's assembled is so that you can literally pull it on with a zipper in the back, and the collar kind of closes a little oddly, and all of the appendage openings, like for your legs and your arms, are cut very close to the body. So it's a very open suit. It shows a lot of skin, in other words.
Gotcha.
And it would be a bit difficult for me, given the way that the pieces go together, to alter it. It would need significant alteration that I'm not willing to do. It's easier for me just to start over with a different pattern that's meant more for what I'm trying to achieve than it is to make major alterations to this one. It's mostly just where the seams lie, honestly. And it's because of its assembly, I can't really move the seams over without like drastically changing the lines of the bodysuit. So I am marking off my seams now so that when I hand baste them together, which I'm one of the weird people in life that I won't machine baste my muslins together because it's too hard for me to pull it apart quickly. So I prefer hand basting them together so that I can rip them apart quickly and make changes. So it takes me a long time to mark my seams, but once I've done that, I usually don't have to do it again. And I keep my patterns. So there's that. And also I have three patterns with me. I have my Lolita pattern, and Lolita is in air quotes because, of course, we know that this is not, you know, true Lolita
true
fashion.
Lolita. It's Lolita-esque,
but it's Lolita-esque from Simplicity. And then I have their schoolgirl pattern, and then I have their Sailor Moon-esque pattern because it's not officially licensed Sailor Moon. But basically, I'm looking at starting to make more comfortable, like school uniform type costume, so I can have a sort of generic thing I can wear to cons. It doesn't have to be any specific character, because you can make any character casual. Throw on a wig and you're done. So I will be cutting out pattern pieces if you see me looking down and with a pair of scissors, which I will not be running with. Please note, friends, I am using paper scissors to cut paper. These are not my fabric scissors. Please do not send me hate.
These are my thread scissors. I use them for nothing else but that. I'll be sad the day that they have to get downgraded to paper scissors. Because they're great. I love them. And then I have to buy new ones. That's the thing I hate about having to downgrade my scissors, is knowing I have to buy myself a brand new pair of fabric scissors. I'm just like, oh.
Honestly, I went to Joann's and they have a two scissor set.
They do.
That comes with a large set of fabric shears, which I believe those are, as I'm looking at them, I believe those are considered dressmaker shears because they have the angled handle as opposed to tailor shears, which I think are straight. And it comes with a micro point embroidery scissors. So it comes with both the dressmaker shears and the micro point embroidery scissors. It's about $20. It's like $19.97 for the set of Fiskars.
There you go.
That's the one. I love that set.
These are great. I love the handles on these. The soft grips are really nice.
See, mine doesn't have the soft grips, but I don't mind that. They're very heavy duty shears.
Yes.
They will cut through multiple layers of fabric and heavy fabrics too. They do need sharpening every so often. So I went and I got myself a scissor sharpener I was there. I have never had to sharpen the micro point embroidery scissors ever. Those suckers are sharp. They will cut skin very easily. Even the tip is very, very, very sharp.
Yeah, they will.
But I really love those scissors, and those are my fabric shears.
Yeah, they're really great.
I will never have to downgrade those. So I just have my little, you know, school kid cheapo Fiskars. These are the ones that they give like kindergartners to use when they're first learning to use sharp scissors. These are my paper scissors. You can always get them at back to school sales.
Oh yeah, never pay full price for those scissors. Try to go for sales or use coupons where you can.
And if you don't have, if you don't have to throw away scissors, please don't. Always consider donating them. Or if they're just dull, you can always take them to either a knife sharpening place or to places like Joann's that do have professional scissor sharpening nights. I think it's Tuesday nights for Joann's. You can take it in there and it's $4 a pair of scissors. And they'll have one of their experts professionally sharpen them for you. It's well worth saving a pair of shears.
It's almost like you're giving them new life by sharpening them.
Right.
Totally.
And in a way, you kind of are giving them a new life because using scissors when they're dull will kind of make them difficult to use and will shorten their life. So it's actually better to keep them sharp.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the big scissors, I have had to sharpen them twice already, but it's also because I was cutting through massive amounts of very heavy, thick fabric like velvets and leather, and that adds up real fast. That damage over time can do a number on you.
Do your scissors have DPS?
Yeah. Truth? Yes.
good old melee DPS.
Just so appropriate because that's all I've been doing this weekend is watching fan festival stuff. Oh man, though the cosplay contest that they had, really, really good. It's always interesting to see how other countries hold their contests. It's always a different setup, different set of rules. And it was weird because they did this at GamesCon too, at certain vendor booths, is they never say the cosplayer's name. They don't say what server they're on, what their character name is. They just say, you know, it's this character in the game, like they're dressed up as a chocobo. So the chocobo comes out. And you're just like, but I want to follow that cosplayer now. What's their real name?
Or at least their social media handle so you can
find them. I was like, I need to know what their Twitter handle is now. Please help me find them. So our Discord group for Final Fantasy XIV cosplayers has been scrambling to try to locate all these people so we can invite them. But it was quite cool. I'm going to have to try to find some photos and maybe share them on our social media. One person did this really great bird mount. They did it almost kind of like a puppet. So they were in a black morph suit. Mm-hmm. And it was just this huge golden bird, had LED lights on all the individual feathers. It was flapping its wings. It was really, really cool. They stayed up to like 4 a.m. that morning working on it. No, thank you. My days of that are done.
Yeah. I don't think I have ever stayed up late like that to work on anything.
Nope.
And, you know, I love cosplay, but cosplay is not worth my sleep. especially if it's at a convention, because I'm usually doing other things at a convention that aren't just cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when we do all con, we are just on for the entire con. There is no slowing down or stopping, whether we're in cosplay or not. So we just go, 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 go. And we've had our signups live for the cosplay contest for a little while, and we've already got a bunch of people signed up. So we're already having to start like micro planning and making sure that we are prepared.
Micro planning.
It is micro planning.
It is. I've just never heard it like that before. I apparently can't thread a needle right now. I'm failing so bad.
You don't use one of those little coin needle threaders?
Nope. I'm terrible at those.
Which, incidentally, guys, if you have never used a hand sewing kit, the little things that have the little Roman-looking head on it that have the diamond-shaped wire, those are actually needle threaders.
They are needle threaders, yes. I am the worst at those. That's why I don't use them.
You basically put it through the needle so that one part of the diamond-shaped hole is sticking through the needle. You put your thread into that hole, and then you pull the needle threader back out, and it pulls the thread with it into the eye of the needle. That's it.
If you've done any type of that punch embroidery stuff, it's the similar concept, very similar concept.
Yes.
And if you do punch embroidery, please don't get the ones that are off of Amazon for like $5 because they suck and they don't work. Per my review in a previous episode.
Not to toot our own horn, but we do have quite a few previous episodes for, you know, your listening and watching enjoyment.
Oh man, I still can't believe I bought one of those. I mean, it was worth testing out, but I'm like, man, never again.
Then again, how often do you do punch embroidery?
Exactly. Honestly, I was thinking about using it more for fun crafty projects around the house, like with pillows, doing some fun embroidery work on like vances and all that type of thing, or even like tablecloths. And if you get the right equipment, it looks really, really cool. And it's totally, totally doable. It's just that you can't get the cheapo stuff because that doesn't work whatsoever. That kit was made for a quick buck, and unfortunately it's advertised as being quick embroidery, and you're like, no, it's not really that. It's got an entirely different look to traditional embroidery.
It reminds me of the cosplay diamond. It's not the triangle, guys. It's not the triangle. It's not just cheap, fast, and quality. It's cheap, fast, quality available. There's a fourth point, because it doesn't matter if it's cheap or fast or quality. Even if you could have all three, if it's not available to you to have, then it doesn't matter.
That's a truth. Even more of a truth lately.
I mean, I can order something from overseas and have it express shipped, and that could be fast, cheap, and quality. But if they're out of stock, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter in the least bit.
And given how popular cosplay is nowadays, it's a little harder to find some things in stock now, especially if it's a good quality or a well-known item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the major problem that I have with certain vendors. If there's a certain wig that I'm looking for in a specific color, it seems like it's out of stock half the time. So I almost have to plan 6 months in advance to order my wigs just to ensure that they're going to be there on time.
For some places like Arda, sometimes it's 8, 10, 12 months in advance because of back ordering.
That's becoming a common occurrence, which is great for them. It means that they're busy, but it also makes it really difficult to do any type of last minute cosplay stuff without having to resort to eBay and hoping that it's not a crappy wig.
Party City.
Oh man, let's not go down the Party City route.
Well, you know, it is single use, which is what they are meant for.
They are meant for that. And it's very obvious that they're meant for that.
Because you will never be able to style it again after you've worn it the first time.
Yeah. They're not very good quality. They're very cheap for a reason.
I'm half looking forward to the Halloween costumes this year and half not, just because of what they've tended to do in terms of okay, I won't say that word. I'm trying to think of the most PC way of saying show more skin. You know what I'm getting at.
Show more skin? I mean, I don't know. I think it's about PC as you are going to get until we hit After Dark episode.
Right. But I'm a little worried about what they're going to do to alter classic costumes in that way to show more skin. But at the same time, I just saw Fantastic Beasts on TV last mm-hmm. night. And I know that they just came out with the new Fantastic Beasts film.
Yes.
And it's like, man, now there's all of these really cool kids type movies that yeah. are for kind of, they're like young teenager, older kids. To kind of, it kind of brings them into the cosplay fold. It's not just about the comic book movies, which are more older teenagers, young adults, even older adults. So now it's kind of broadening that audience base so that now there's something current and popular for everybody except maybe infants.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, let's face it, Minions are a pretty popular option for infants.
They're always going to be popular, and it seems like they come out with a new Minion movie or Minion short every year now, so it that's a guarantee for them.
But yeah, there are always people on forums right around Halloween who have just had children who are asking, like, what can I do for family cosplay? Like, what should I dress up my infant as?
Mm-hmm. They'll probably end up happening quite a bit from Disney because we do have the next Avengers movie coming out this year. Toy Story 4. I doubt there will be Dumbo costumes, but you know, the Dumbo live action's coming out. I don't know if the Aladdin live action is this year. I think it is, as well as Lion King.
Lion King is this year.
So at the very least for the live action stuff, there's probably going to be some Aladdin costumes. It'll be a little difficult for Lion King or Dumbo unless you have like the baby costume version of it. Because I remember that being a thing when the original Lion King came out.
Which, if you think about it, I'm guessing that it will be similar to the Lion King musical.
Yeah, probably.
So it's basically like the equivalent of a Kigurumi
mm-hmm.
that's lion shaped with a little hoodie that has a mane on it.
Exactly. It has a fuzzy mane. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Especially for toddlers.
Or even like young children.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised by that. But yes. Toy Story 4, definitely. Like that's going to have a ton of costumes for it.
Plus anytime there's a sequel, there's always people that go back to the classic original and all the sequels. So there will always be plenty of things to choose from. The new Wreck-It Ralph, I think, is coming out this year.
It's already out. It's been out. It has been out. It has done its thing.
And there's all these new conventions that are springing up too, because I think companies have realized that nerds have money and want to spend it on nerdy things. And they're willing to pay decent amounts of money to come and see their favorite voice actors, actors, you know, characters, basically, at these venues.
Now that we all have jobs and we're adults and we're making money, we have a little bit of it to spend. We're not a bad group to target.
And then turning around and having kids and bringing the kids with us.
Exactly.
In turn, spawning a new generation of nerds.
Because, hey, profit. That is always the name of the game.
I'm hoping that the pattern companies continue their spree of cosplay patterns, because that's actually really been a boon in the last couple years.
It's so nice to have those as an option.
Even Butterick, which doesn't traditionally do cosplay, they are almost entirely costuming. And those costumes usually tend to be Victorian and Renaissance, pretty heavily weighted.
Historical, mostly.
Right. But even some of the accessories that they've come out with, like gloves and spats and actual like full shoes and things like that have really kind of helped cosplayers in a way. Because you can take those and modify them.
Oh yeah, we Frankenstein patterns all the time.
And sometimes those patterns are actually the hardest to find patterns for. Mm-hmm. You can always take apart clothing to make patterns, but it's actually kind of hard to take apart gloves to make a pattern from gloves, or you can't really take apart a hat and make a pattern from a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm finding that out the fun way, because I have to make a really fun hat for my 14 costume and I have no clue how I'm going to make it happen. So if I can find the right pattern for it, you better believe I'm going to buy it and use it.
Didn't you do one for your songstress?
I did, but
that was mini fascinator.
Yeah. That one was fine. That one I didn't have a problem with. I actually kind of BS'd that one and it made it work. Yeah. And I did it properly. I did it improperly first, and then I felt really bad. So I went back and I used buckram, and it was way better. Yay. But this one, it's kind of more of a witch hat, but it's not like the traditional Halloween one. It's got a weird tilt and a bend to it, and it's a pretty wide brim lid, and it's got to be able to hold some fake stuff on top of it. So I'm just like, oh, God, how is this going to work?
Yep. This is a casual crafting session since we've been uber busy with real life recently, and we have some pending content. We just haven't had a chance to work on it yet. I know I was out of town all weekend, you know, at one of my other alternate gigs, so I haven't even had a chance to work on my cosplay at all, besides looking at that bodysuit pattern and just going, no, that's not gonna work. I'm sure it'll work for other things, but
oh yeah,
I mean, it's like Deedlit as Battle Angel Alita, which was not the vibe I was going for.
That's an interesting spin. I could dig that.
It's that kind of, it's almost like a Gundam Wing style flight suit, which you'd have on as like that body suit while you're in your Gundam.
That makes more sense.
Futuristic Record of Lodoss War, which is not quite where I was going.
It's a cool concept.
I mean, it is a nifty concept, and it's one of those things where if you wanted to take an original type series and then move it into the future and just kind of do your own take on it, could potentially be really cool. I'm just not that kind of a creative person. Nor is it my cup of tea. I do more of the, you know, medieval type thing, not futuristic thing. So if I ever find a cosplay that has the futuristic thing going for it, then I can use that pattern. But for now, none of my planned cosplays are that.
It just doesn't fit with the mix.
Right. And oddly enough, the pattern I'm using for my Deedlit tunic is the exact same one that I will use for my Lin tunic. So I'm kind of doubling up in a way, since I already know I'll be using this pattern. It's just a matter of cutting one short than the other. Because I think one is like just above the knee and Lin's goes all the way down to her ankles, even though it has the slit on the side.
Gotcha. Sometimes that's how it goes, though, is you find a pattern that kind of works for multiple things. And so you just stick with it and you keep using it. Why not?
I have a few classic patterns. It's kind of the equivalent of like the shirt, blouse, pants patterns, where they're just kind of the base for everything.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of those that I've made for myself. I have a legging pattern that I made, 7 years ago. I did it for my Amora costume from Thor. And it just turned out so perfectly that I kept it. And I'm glad I transferred it over to proper paper so that way I could store it. And every single time I've needed some type of legging or tights that needed to have a weird design on it, I just go straight to that pattern and it works perfectly for me. I've never had to make any adjustments.
I need a good pajama pants pattern, and I'm pretty sure I can find one. You can't use the same pattern for comfy clothes like PJs and and hoodies and such that you do for even things like pull-on pants or slacks or like work type clothes,
mm-hmm.
like more business casual type clothes, because they fit differently. there's a different amount of ease in the total fabric quantity that they use.
Too true.
And they're cut slightly differently too. So my go-to pants pattern I cannot use for pajama pants, unfortunately.
Yeah, I kind of have to, and I'm terrible about this. I should actually draft myself a pattern, but I'm at the point in my life where pretty much all of my sleep clothes I make, so they're nice and comfy and they fit me, and I just draft it directly onto the fabric. It's like, it works every time. I know what the measurements are. I just don't have an official pattern for it. And that is okay. Got a pair of Donkey Kong PJs on right now.
You know, kids, if you want to make your own cosplays, but you don't feel comfortable enough to do that yet, you are always welcome to just make nerdy garb.
Oh, yeah.
You can totally take that with you to conventions. You can make pajama pants. You can make just really loose pajama shirts, or you can make little tunic style robes. Doesn't have to be a full robe. You can just make it like a little cover up, basically. You can make little boots, like little booties, socks. You can make scarves for when it's really cold weather. You can make vests. You can make little convention bags, little messenger style bags, because heaven knows you always need pockets at conventions.
Heck, you can never have enough pockets.
You can even make crafting aprons.
Yep.
Or a little mat to stick underneath your sewing machine that has little pockets on it. It's literally a rectangle of fabric with little pockets in one side that you put underneath your sewing machine so it holds like your scissors and all your notions in front of you.
I need to make myself one of those. I keep telling myself to make one and I haven't yet, but I don't have any of the materials to make one either. So,
and by the way, there are patterns for every one of those things.
Heck yeah, there are.
So you can always practice making yourself nerdy stuff if you don't feel comfortable making cosplay, because the same concepts apply to both. And clothing is clothing is clothing is clothing.
Too true.
Plus, then you have some nerdy stuff to bring with you to a convention, so that when you're not in cosplay, you can still feel nerdy.
And it helps teach you how to sew, which is very, very important.
It's also a good safe place to make mistakes if you need to make them, because nobody will see them.
Exactly. Only you will know about them.
Which, you know, if you are OCD, will probably bother the ever-living daylights out of you.
Ayo! Guilty as charged on that one. Which is why I always press my seams, because, oh, good gravy, I can't live without having pressed seams. It aggravates me to no end. Even on slouchy things like pajamas, I need to press the seams.
I always, even on more casual things, have to finish my hems.
Yeah.
I won't leave them raw ever.
I can't do raw hems. It angers me. Even on things that you know don't really need to have a hem, like silk, or you can get away with it on jersey. Like, I need to have some kind of a hem, even if it's like just taking a little bit of a lighter and doing it on silk so I can burn the edge so that way it's nice and clean.
Please be safe if using a lighter on fabric.
Oh, yes. Please, 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 please.
There is a way to seal fabric using a lighter, but there's a very fine line between sealing the seam and lighting the fabric on fire.
Which is why I'm really happy I now have a serger, so I don't have to do that ever again.
Which also, if you do not wish to purchase a serger because they can be a little expensive, there are ways to do mock serging using a standard sewing machine. It's not quite the same kind of finish. It is a mock finish and not a true serged seam, but it'll still serve mostly the same purpose.
Which, by the way, I did a tutorial of that in a previous episode, so feel free to go check it out. Constantly teaching the kids.
And of course, if you want to be really fancy, if you don't want to serge, you can always do a Hong Kong finish. Go look that one up if you don't know what it is.
We haven't done that tutorial yet.
Mostly because it's so extraordinarily time consuming.
It is very time consuming, but it looks fun. It's so good when it's done.
I mean, if you know how to basically finish a hem using bias tape, think about doing that on all of your seams. That is a Hong Kong finish.
Which again, it looks so good. So good, but it is so ridiculously time consuming. I almost did that on some Christmas presents that I made. I did some weighted blankets for some really, really close friends. And the reason I did weighted blankets is they're really good for with helping with anxiety, depression, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But they're just really small standard throws. And I was going to do the Hong Kong finish on all four sides until I tried to put it under my sheen, and I was like, that's a lot of no. This I love my machine. It can do 8 layers of leather like butter. It's beautiful, but this was even bigger than that. And I was like,
It would not
nope.
love you for doing that.
Turn them all inside out, and I just hand stitch the last little section. Done. Alan, how you doing?
Usually on those, it's the fastest to do a French seam on
Yeah.
the finish.
And I didn't want to have any of that showing, so I just did it on the inside and then flipped it inside out.
I'm so obsessed with top stitching that I top stitch all my seams.
I love top stitching, but I've only recently gotten to really, really love top stitching. Before that, not so much.
Not only does it make it look classy, but it
Yes.
also gives you an extra layer of security on that seam.
Heck yeah, the
I do that
no.
on all my hems too. I top stitch all my hems.
Yeah, I've been doing that more. When I started with my songbird costume, that's the Idol-esque one. And that's when I started to really do top stitching, and I was like, oh, that's why I want to keep doing it. It looks so nice. It was very time consuming, but totally worth it.
It is a lot of extra thread that you have to account for because you're basically stitching all of your seams twice.
That was fun.
And it's the worst feeling in the world when you're stitching and you have about 2 inches left to go and then your bobbin runs out.
And then you're just like, well, and you know it's going to happen because it happens every time. It
Murphy's Law, man.
really is. Like the few times I haven't had that happen, it's just been like, it's a miracle.
I also would go ahead.
I was to say, there's only been one time where I've been doing applique where the bobbin ran out just as I finished the very last stitch, and it was just like perfection. And I was just like, I'm done for the day. I can't top this.
You feel like you have to stop because you're
Yes.
afraid that, if you do anything else, that it's just going to ruin the perfection.
And I'm afraid of anything else bad happening, so I have to stop what
Exactly.
I'm doing. That is a thing.
I wanted to mention that having been in the grocery store lately, that they've got a lot more portable options now for convention eating than they used to. There's a lot more like insta microwavable things. They're basically like MREs where you just add water and nuke them.
Nice.
And there's a lot more healthy options for things like granola and Greek yogurt and such. That you can take with you, where if they're not refrigerated for a few hours, then it's still okay. I promised myself that I would eat better at conventions. Since I've been eating better in general, now I just have to carry that over for when I'm out of town.
That makes sense. Yeah, and those are really helpful. It's always kind of a challenge though, because I've noticed some conventions are cracking down on outside food and drink, because of course they want to sell their own stuff inside, and it's just like, ah, I just have a bottle of water. Can I just have my water, please?
Well, this is, I'm thinking of like at the hotel, which it's a
Yeah.
huge inconvenience to have to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to eat.
It is. But you
But
gotta do it.
when you have special dietary requirements,
You gotta do it.
you don't really have a choice.
Which kind of helps. It depends on where your convention is located. Because I know in some cities, the dietary thing is not as big of a deal. But in some others, you're just like, I got nothing to eat, so I have to go back to the hotel. That's always an enjoyable, fun time.
It just means that you do a lot of walking, which is another good reason why cosplay should have comfortable shoes as the base.
You lie.
Nope. Note that I say should have
should.
Comfortable shoes as a base, which I understand is not always available if you're going for accuracy as your number one criteria for your costume. But
especially if you're doing a cosplay contest.
Yes. But if you're going to be walking back and forth to your hotel several times a day to consume food and drink, sometimes it may just end up being worth, you know, sacking the accuracy thing. You do what you gotta do.
Always make it work where you can, because comfort is kind of a thing, such as, like, you know, adding hidden pockets into your costume so you can carry stuff. That's always a glorious, glorious thing. Because pockets are amazing.
Yes, in and out of cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't have pockets, you can always carry a little pouch with you. It doesn't have to be a purse. I know that there's a little bit of controversy over what they call man bags and such, but nobody
Whatever.
Really cares.
No one cares.
Anybody can carry a pouch with them. You know, ninjas do it. Warriors do it. High-class ladies do it. You know, everybody can do it. It's just the pouch that sits on your belt.
Woohoo!
Carry things like your wallet, your phone, your monies, your monies. Badge.
The important things.
Yes, and you can put pouches and pockets in all sorts of places. It does not have to be in the side seam of your pants. You can put them in skirts. You can put them in coats. You can put them in shirts. You can even put them in hats.
You totally
can. You
can
put them in gauntlets. You can put them in gloves. You don't have to have a large set of pockets. You can just have a bunch of smaller pockets.
One day I need to, like, take out my Amidala dress and show where the hidden pocket is on this, because it's so dumb, but it's so genius.
I mean, people have made character plushes that go with their cosplay, and it has a pocket built into the back.
Hi! I do this a lot. And it goes so well with everything, because everybody wants a photo of me with my purse, and I'm like, yeah, it's also... all my pocket belongings are in here. Yay. It's awesome like that.
There's lots of ways you can do it. And you can even put pockets in your shoes if you want to.
If you're really creative and you have enough determination, you can totally make it happen. Why is it that whenever I need the right size bead, I can never find the one I want?
Because you want it.
Yeah. Good point. I concede.
Wait, you can't seed because you didn't have the seed.
Ha 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 ha. It immediately turned into sobbing. This is what my life is going to be. Because this is not the end of the beading. Oh, Lord, no. Once I get done with the embroidery, there's other colored beads that have to go around it. I don't know why I picked this dress. I question my sanity every day now.
Just think of how good it will look when it's done.
That's what I keep trying to tell myself, and it's like quarter working now. I will say that the two strings are going a lot faster than a four. Good gravy. This one shouldn't take me 2 years. Oh no, I have lost the needle. It has fallen out of my grasp.
Just think you can bead the pockets.
God, no, please don't. All right, hang on. This is going to be entertaining. I got to try to find the needle that has fallen on the floor.
Hey, you know, so speaking of beading things, and I think at one point that you had a beaded apple.
Yeah,
for
I
your
still have it
Evil Queen costume.
Not beaded, but it is bedazzled.
Yes, like, it's shiny.
It's all not sequins. Ah!
Rhinestones.
Rhinestones, thank you. My brain had a fart.
It reminds me of the Pepsi commercial for this year's Super Bowl.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the commercials yet.
They only showed like 10 seconds of it because they're making this big deal about Pepsi being one of the primary sponsors of the Super Bowl in Atlanta, which is the home of Coca-Cola.
Has a great Coca-Cola museum, by the way.
And the Pepsi commercial has a bedazzled Pepsi can as part of it. It's nice. Very shiny.
I like this already.
And it made me think of your rhinestone apple.
I'm so glad that I kept this and I opted not to sell it with my evil queen costume, because this is what I'm going to be carrying with Snow White whenever I wear that monstrosity.
And see, you guys, if you wanted to make a pocket, all you have to do is just make the top come off and it can store things like keys. Even props can store things.
Something as tiny as this could at least hold my keys. That's really all I need it for. However, the dress is already big enough that it can do everything. Actually, I have a really pretty Snow White purse. I'm totally going to be using it, so. I've never bought a purse so expensive before, but it was worth every penny because it is beautiful. And by expensive, I think it was like $50.
Oh, jeez.
That's expensive for me. God, I think my fabric for my Game of Thrones costume was more expensive. Oh, that hurts my soul.
And the pocketbook.
And yeah, well, it hurt the pocketbook 3 years ago. Not so much now.
See, this is one of those times when having the holidays coming up, you know, whether it's Lunar New Year, whether it's President's Day, whether it's Valentine's, there's all sorts of holidays that are coming up. And there's always sales on these dates. So if you know that you have a convention coming up and you have a specific costume that you want to have for it, go ahead and plan out those fabric sales, because getting nice fabric can cost you a pretty penny if it's not on sale.
Or you can go to Joann's, where they apparently have doorbusters every day now.
I did notice that. I did notice that. They do have them much more often than they used to.
I was joking with a mutual friend of ours, and she just happened to mention it seemed like they've been using the word doorbuster a lot lately, which is their term for, like, you know, closing sale or get big savings. So I just happened to search through my email, and I was like, how many times did they use the word doorbuster? So I searched doorbuster, and within the last month, it's come up 22 times, which is almost every single one of their emails. And I was like, yeah, I think they're kind of abusing that word. They're going coupon crazy, that's for sure.
It kind of loses meaning, because typically doorbusters would only be done on the day after Thanksgiving. For those who don't know, it's a way to drive people to physically go into the stores, because they would offer sales that were only good in store. So you had to physically go to the store to get the item, let alone the sale price.
And the internet has definitely changed how all of that works now.
And apparently now Joann's has it for longer than a week. Now it's
years.
Yes. Now it's almost the entire year. Now they'll have to find a new word for doorbusters.
Good luck.
next they'll do wall busters, because it's not just the door, it busts out the entire wall.
Shelf busters. Also, hi other people that have showed up in chat. Yay!
Yes, you have joined us in on a crafting heavy episode, as we are basically working on costumes and free-forming about cosplay, you know, as we're working.
Yeah, I wish I had some photos of FanFest to at least show, because the costumes were so cool and it'd be fun to talk about some of them. Maybe we'll have that next time.
Yes. Yes. I have been making slow progress as I have been drawing a ton of dotted lines on fabric, trying to measure out my seams. And then, of course, I'm going to be sitting there. I have to find something to binge watch for a little bit as I hand stitch all of the things together, because I prefer pin fitting, honestly. But as I have found out the hard way, when the pins don't stay in the fabric and I'm having to fit something to myself, the pins fall on the floor. And if I don't see where the pin went, I do not move until I see the pin. Because typically the fitting is done either in socks or bare feet. And I have no desire to wake up in the middle of the night and have to use the bathroom, and I'm 3/4 of the way asleep and I find the pin.
Which is why I stopped everything that I was doing to find my needle.
Yes.
I was like, wait, we're not moving. I need to find this. Oh man, that's a real life thing.
Plus, honestly, when you pin fabric together, I feel like I'm about to start a controversy when I say this, so I'm really sorry in advance.
Uh-oh, here we go.
There are two schools of thought with pinning fabric. You can either pin in the seam allowance, which means it won't be seen on the outer garment, but it also means that you pin parallel to the seam, so that as you're stitching, you have to pull out the pins as you go, because otherwise the sewing machine can't go any further because you'd stitch on the pin. The more traditional way of doing it is to pin perpendicular to the seam, which means your pins are like forming a T with the seam, so that you can stitch directly over the pins, because the pins are basically straight up and down and the sewing machine is running across them. On rare occasion, the sewing needle will strike a pin and it'll bend the pin, but generally, as long as you're careful, you won't hit the pins. So you can just stitch straight down the seam without having to remove any of the pins.
That's how I do it.
When you go to fit a garment, you can't pin that way. You can't pin perpendicular, because then you stab yourself with the pins repeatedly, because they are pointing into your body. Not to mention that they actually shorten the seam a little bit when you do that. So when you fit, if you pin fit, you have to pin parallel to the seam, which is not the way that you stitch it together, because otherwise you stab yourself with a pin. The only problem with pinning parallel to the seam is that if you have to move in any way, if you have to bend your body, if you have to move a limb, the pins still point one direction, which means if the pins are pointing down and you bend over, you will stab yourself in the hip, because the pin is pointing down into the place where you are bending your body at the joint. And the same thing happens if the pin is pointing up, because generally it points into your armpit or into your crotch area, because, you know, sometimes we have to make pants. And yeah, it hurts when you move and you're pin fitting. This is why I based everything by hand, is because I've had so many problems pin fitting and stabbing myself. And I do not wish to, you know, bless my costume with blood, sweat, and tears in a literal fashion in that way. That's not how I want to do this. This is not a benediction.
Does it help if I say that I do my pin fitting when I'm working on the muslin and the mock-up version?
Well, yeah, that is when I'm doing my fitting.
Okay. Well, then that's no big deal.
I still stab myself with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I stab myself all the time because of that. Having said that, though, at least it's not on the final piece. It's all good. You can get a little blood on it.
You know, that is unsanitary, for one. And for two, it also means that you end up being a little tender in that spot for a little while until it heals.
Build up some calluses. It'll be fine. Oh, this is why I love having a dress form. Oh, good gravy.
This is my what face.
I know. I know that's your face.
It's not just my face. It's my what face.
It's your what face. My apologies.
W-U-T.
W-U-T. The one time we'll hear Amber use some slang.
Yes. I do occasionally see Twitch chat.
Dude, what?
For those who don't know, what face is a Twitch icon?
It is a Twitch icon. I've actually made one of my emotes something that was so appropriate. It's just purple text. Nice little clean outline. Just says, it's fine. Because apparently I say that way too often. Running away from a zombie, it's fine. Accidentally dying 10 times, it's fine. It's fine. No biggie.
If only I could say that for the majority of things that go wrong with my cosplay.
It's fine.
No biggie.
No big. It'll be okay.
It's like until you totally make the wrong cut in your final piece of fabric and you do not have any spare.
Then you just start crying and there is no it's fine. It's
That's one of those mood moments.
It very much so. Man, if I had one of those happen on this fabric for the Game of Thrones costume, I would have just been like, I quit. I'm done. I can't handle this.
The feels, man. The feels.
Because that was expensive fabric. I really don't want to rebuy it.
That's where the this is fine dog would, you know, take up residence.
Be in a room in Fuego. And just weep softly. Oh, good gravy. Hey, I managed to get a lot done in this little bit of time, though.
I haven't. This part always takes me the longest, but at least I can use this.
Yeah.
For multiple costumes, so I only have to do this once.
So that's
or at least
a good
I only
thing.
Did it once.
It always that initial step takes the most amount of time, but once you get it done, then you're like, okay, moving
now
on.
I have this thought in the back of my mind that's just like, huh, I wonder what the weather for Olcon's going to be like. I'm going to make this really awesome costume that I won't be able to wear because it will be the wrong weather for it.
Probably. Though, thankfully, I mean, it's all indoors.
It is, but you still have to, one, drive to get there.
Yeah.
And two, there's always the hotel atmospheric control, which, depending on the hotel, can be kind of iffy.
Last time it wasn't bad when we did Infinicon the time before that and the AC being broken. That really sucked.
Oh, there's been an Alcon where the AC was busted.
I'm trying to think, when was that?
That was one of those at the Crown Plaza. Because I was trying to wear my my Green Ranger outfit at that point, and that was when I didn't fit into the corset anymore.
So that would have been 2 years ago?
Ish.
3 years
our buddy,
ago?
Our buddy Photo Persuasion took photos of me that year, because that was when we went into the room and basically collapsed because it was so hot that we had to
so
go
hot.
Cool off.
Yeah. I remember having to do that for Infinicon, which is the same hotel. Go fig.
Is that happening this year?
I don't believe so. I have not heard any updates. I think it may have been put aside.
One and done?
Well, two and done.
Oh, that's true.
But, you know, that sometimes that happens. I think for them, it's unfortunate timing because it just overlaps with so many other local events that people were already committed to.
Plus, it's falling right at the beginning of school.
Yeah, that one's a rough time, too. I know a number of people are kind of unhappy with Acon because if it's new later date, it means summer school starts. So that takes away a chunk of your audience.
There's been quite a few people asking about refunds because of that.
Yeah.
Because they can't go.
Which, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And hopefully they're honoring all those refunds in full and not doing like a partial refund thing.
To the best of my knowledge, they are currently.
Good. They need to, because that would just be bad form on their part. Lester Candy, to answer your question, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you mean how long have I been beating today? Or throughout the entirety of the costume?
How long in your lifetime have you been beating?
Forever! Total. Oh God. I'm going to ballpark this at 50 hours. because this segment, maybe at this point, we're at the 4 hour mark, which this has gone by pretty quickly. I'm happy with this. But then I have this whole stack here. Let me unfold it a little bit. This has been the bulk of the work because it's four layers and it goes 3¼ yards, almost 3.5 yards in length with multiple strands. This took a lot of time. And this was over the course of 2 years. This is my life. And I throw it away.
It is literally a chunk of your life.
Quite literally. And it was on and off. Here and there. It's not like I worked on it continuously, which is why I'm ballparking it at 50. That's probably not accurate, though. It's probably much less than that. But it's probably not that far off. I remember doing some of it while I was waiting for Dad in the hospital, so there we go. And that's not the end of it. Oh, this costume's going to drive me insane. I have so many regrets. No more Game of Thrones costumes. Never again. Never, never again. Never again.
All I hear in my head is, insane in the membrane.
Insane in the membrane. I've been listening to a lot of 90s music lately, so I'm good with this. I'm digging it.
You know, sometimes people just need a cosplay mix.
Yes.
Turn it on in the background. Your favorite tunes, your favorite hits.
Yeah.
And it's just whatever motivates you to work on your stuff, whatever it is you are working on at that point in time. Whether it's the soundtrack from the particular property that your character comes from, or if it's just, you know, power rock hits. If you happen to favor death metal, that's perfectly fine.
Woo!
Or if you just want to, you know, relax while you're beating and turn on classical symphonic music, that's perfectly fine too. It is all good.
It's a good way to catch up on shows. My favorite thing right now is I've been watching Mythbusters Jr. That's been a blast.
Literally?
Literally.
Have they actually blown things up?
Yes, they have. They have blown things up. Adam Savage is their mentor. But the kids all do the experiments on their own, and they're all just randomly from around the country. Some of them, I think, are in Mensa. One of them is a student at TCU. He's only 12 years old, and he's studying astrophysics and engineering. But it's just so cool that they have the drive and the will to want to do that kind of stuff and to make science really fun and accessible for everybody.
Kids these days, showing the rest of us up.
What was really funny is they had an episode that was all about farts, basically. You know, using farts as jet fuel, lighting farts on fire, blah, blah, blah. But what was funny is that all of the kids were being incredibly mature about it. And they were like, I can't believe we're lighting farts on fire. Like, they were just so incredulous about the whole situation. Whereas Adam's the one being the big kid about all of it. Kids, be mature, yo. But it was a very tasteful episode in spite of it being all about farts. I know, that sounds strange. I like how Amber just got immediately quiet.
I can't think of anything that I can say about that I can really say on the show.
A PC.
Yeah, not to mention it's kind of potty humor in a very literal sense.
Ayo. The kids are more mature than us at this point.
Some days.
But it has been a lot of fun, and it sticks true to a lot of the original Mythbusters content. So that's been nice, too. It's been a good crafting thing going on in the background. Very inspirational. Mm-hmm. Gives me hope for our future.
Well, I hope that my future is, you know, full of being able to work on cosplay.
Also truth.
And on a more consistent basis, let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, when duty calls, you do what you got to do, and cosplay just kind of falls away to the side.
Hee hee, you said duty. I just wanted your reaction shot. I got what I wanted. I'm good.
I would have given it to you if you would have just asked. I know that's going to be the thumbnail for this episode.
I've stopped doing images as thumbnails. I now have a standard template where it's just our fun black and white background with text on it. So it's nice and clean. And it's easier for me. However, that doesn't mean that it won't be in the year in review.
Can the name of the episode be Tootie Farty, please?
Yes. If that's what you want, I can make it that.
No, I don't really want it to be that. You know, I'm obligated to be punny.
What I could do is I could put it in the description and really confuse everybody until they watch it.
Isn't that the whole point of, like, clickbait?
True. Could do it that way.
We, too, can have clickbaity titles. Watch us work on cosplay and talk about random things in the field of cosplay, including kids working on fart experiments.
Hashtag Tootie Farty.
I mean, Tootie Fruity doesn't quite have the same meaning, so.
No, it doesn't have
it has to be Tootie Farty.
Yeah. We are adults.
Only in the body.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, dress up.
I was going to say, to be fair, we are dressing up as our favorite comic book characters.
We play dress up. And this is what we spend our income on. Yay!
Among other things.
Like bills.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking, you know, like nerdy fleece to make pajama pants, but...
Actually, that's appropriate, too. I'm okay with that. More than okay with that.
I had a feeling you might be.
Almost got another entire row done. Yay!
I have done all of my dotting.
Yay!
So now I get to pin it all together and start fitting it. And I always pin it together right sides out. I know that typically people are inclined to do it the way that you would stitch it together, which is right sides together so that you turn it inside out. But I do it with the seams on the outside so that I can make changes to the shape and to the seams with the seams out toward me. That way I don't have to like turn it inside out to do the fitting so that I have wrong sides out. I'm just going to stitch it together wrong sides out to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear it all apart anyway.
It's pretty much how I do it too. It's just easier for me to do it that way.
Yep. Sadly, there is not a dress form that really mimics my proportions, and it has nothing to do with my measurements. It's the placement of, you know, parts of the body that I can't really mimic with a dress form. So unfortunately, I can only really use a dress form to display things or to hold it for me while I am doing things to it. I can't use it to fit things.
Yeah, and I can't still justify the price of doing like those customized dress forms that are made specifically to your body shape. They're just too expensive.
If you did enough cosplay, it would probably be okay.
Yeah.
But I would probably say more that if you're a professional, perhaps professional cosplayer, or do it on a very regular basis and maybe not so much as a hobby.
Which is kind of why I have the adjustable dress form, because I still do take commission. So I need to make sure that I have something that can change shape as needed.
Or you can do what some services do and have your potential clients mail in a duct tape dummy.
That's true. I haven't had anybody ask that yet, but that is true.
That'll
happen sooner or later.
Some commission services will do that in place in lieu of a custom measurements form.
Ah, that's smart. Definitely ensures that you get the right size the first time out.
Yep. It is a very custom fit.
Yeah.
But it also means that you can do remote commissions a lot more easily. People who are not living in the same state as you, because you don't have to worry about them coming in for fittings. You literally have a double of their body right there with you. Because otherwise, some commissioners will actually only take local commissions because they want you to come in for fittings periodically to make sure that everything looks good.
Which makes sense. That I understand. Mm-hmm. I've been in that position before. Which is always really hard for something like bodysuits. I'm always, as much as I enjoy making those or anything that's tight fitting, I'm always really, really leery of doing it, because if they're not there for fittings and it's even just a hair off, it can completely destroy the integrity of the garment. And it's just like, you can't change your body shape for a year. Sorry.
Not to mention that typically such things, if it's too big, you can always take it in. Mm-hmm. But if the person who bought it isn't a tailor or a seamstress, they may not know how.
And especially when it comes to something close fitting like a bodysuit, you better believe that I'm using my serger for that sucker. And taking out seams on a serger, just don't. You'll hate yourself.
And of course, if it's too little, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, there's no wiggle room at that point. It's literally a delicate dance. Yeah. It's a very delicate dance. Well, I think at this point, we've definitely gone over an hour.
Yes. Yes, we have. We have been crafting for over an hour.
Woohoo! Do we want to show off our progress and call it?
I mean, here's my progress. I have dotted lines. Woo!
Yeah!
That's my progress.
I mean, mine kind of is dotted lines. They're just longer dotted lines.
Sorry, guys. We didn't work on anything like terribly interesting visually for you to see on camera this time around.
I probably should have patterned something on my dress form now that I think about it. Whoops. Oh, well, too late. Sectioned done, and I got a whole almost an entire row done. Yay!
If we do this in the future, if there are particular things you'd like to see us either work on or techniques you'd like to see us actually do while we're crafting, so things like pin fitting on a dress form without commercial patterns, we're happy to do that for you guys. Just let us know.
Yeah, I definitely want to do, at least in the near future, as part of our tutorials, as an update to my draping. That would be nice to have.
Yep.
So yeah, if you guys have any ideas or suggestions for other tutorials, just drop us a line. Let us know. We are happy to do it. And if we don't know how to do it, we'll find someone who does know how to do it.
And we will happily either have them on the show if they are available and willing, or we will point you in their direction. And now I am sitting with a ton of pins piercing my pant legs.
Comfortable, isn't it?
You know, I was going to make a joke about piercing gaze, but I won't.
Yeah, probably not a good call. Not a good call.
All right, shall we close this one?
Let's do the thing.
All right, so thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you for hanging out with us for this crafting session of episode 181 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to share with us what you're working on, if you would like to give us suggestions on tutorials, anything like that, if you'd like to communicate with us in any way, or just to say good job and we are proud of you guys for working on cosplay live for the public to see, you can, of course, leave us your comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, criticisms, and constructive comments to any of our social media, which you can find here.
I'm impressed that you said it all in what felt like one breath.
It was one breath.
Yay.
We've been doing this for 7 years, y'all. And of course, you can always email us, podcast@cosplaypod.org, where, of course, you will get both of our responses, because we're like that. We care that much about you guys. But otherwise, we hope that everyone's cosplaying is going well, and we will see you guys in episode 182 next time. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys.